This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
Look, we always got to start with that image in our heads.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
We could start with this in our head, though. Hold on.
The erection.
Oh, erection. Slimy Schumer, it's even worse.
It is worse.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to be thinking about Slimy Schumer's erection or Cuomo's. I don't want to think about any New York politician's erections. I'm trying to have fun. This is Off the Hook Radio.
You know, one of the things that I find so weird with this whole Cuomo thing, we got the third person comes out and it's now, sexual allegations. Why didn't any of this shit come out when he was running for governor? Why is it coming out now? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Screw him.
He's going to get booted.
Anyway, welcome to Off the Hook Radio for March 2nd.
2021.
There you go. Barbara's still got that frog in her throat.
Yep.
Hey, I heard something was said on the news yesterday. Former CIA director and, of course, Communist Party of America member, which nobody on the media likes to talk about, but it's true, under Obama, Mr. John Brennan, said yesterday on one of the lamestream media shows, I think it was CNN, I don't know. This is a quote. "I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days," unquote. Off the Hook Radio says, "With balls that small, you should be embarrassed just to be a male. Piss off, loser." Just want to get that off my chest. And I unfortunately found out Tucker Carlson did that story right at the end of his show tonight, which is what I get for writing my show that early.
Got it in your notes.
I had this show done 5 hours ago, and that some bitch read my notes. That's right. I still like you, Tucker. It's okay. While we dismiss that fool, we have a guest host tonight. I just played those two things together, didn't I? Mm-hmm. No fool he, but he certainly may be a clown.
What do you mean I'm a clown? I'm funny? I'm a clown? I amuse you? How am I funny?
You do amuse me.
Big red nose?
That's why you're here. Nice. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce you to my friend, Rick C. Welcome to Off the Hook Radio, Rick. You'll never be able to live this down.
Nope. Probably not.
Yeah, care anymore?
I don't care anymore.
No.
I don't. I mean, I'm going to be me no matter who says what. And I'm just going to be me. I'm always going to be me. I can't conform to anything, really.
Good. So I will tell you, you are among my three favorite people that I've met since I moved to Tampa.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
That's great.
And Brandon Byers, who's a guy that we both know, is grateful too that you had to work that Sunday that I wanted to take you to the Bucks game. I called him then. He was like, I gotta fucking work.
I always gotta work. Unless I hit the line.
Some of us aren't retired. We're not lucky to be able to sit home in our...
Well, Rick's a working man. We're going to talk about that.
Well, I'm talking about you being retired. You get to just sit there and support a life and do nothing. And, you know, some of us have to work. Well,
occasionally, I have to put shoes on.
Yeah. To do what? Take your garbage to the end of the road?
Nice. No, not usually. It's cool out at night, and I just walk on the pavers. It's no big deal. But, you know, if I go to the grocery store, I got to wear my kicks, you know. Things happen, but I have shorts and a t-shirt on and no shoes. Just typical. That's a normal Florida outfit. But I want to ask Rick a couple of questions. So our audience will get to know him a little bit better. They've had 11 years of, you know, our bullshit. So it's your turn, Rick.
I'm ready.
Okay. I know you're a white male. Are you embarrassed by that?
Hell no. Why? No. There's no reason for this cancel stuff. No.
No?
No, of course not.
Now, what happens when you go to McDonald's?
Yeah, they always fuck with you at the drive-thru.
They always fuck you at the drive-thru?
Yeah, every time.
Every time. Those bastards. So you're not embarrassed being a white male as long as you get the fries.
I want my fries. You give me my fries. I ordered fries. Give me fries. I want ketchup and everything.
God, you're greedy. He wants ketchup, too.
I want ketchup.
And napkins.
And I'd rather have the ketchup before the napkins.
Yeah, fuck it. We can always wash our shirts. I know about a little bit about your background, but tell the folks a little bit about who Rick C is.
Rick C, let's see. Originally from Brooklyn. I've done a lot of background acting and a lot of TV shows. Sopranos, New York Undercover. I had little scene in Die Hard. You can actually see me. A little out of focus. They had a focus on the main character.
The original one? The Nakatomi Plaza one? The Christmas movie?
It was a Christmas one where they were going to blow up the school.
No, that was the second one.
Is that the second one? That was the second one.
That was Die Harder.
Die Harder. All right, well, at least it's hard. When the two main actors look at the kid looking out of the school, they focus in on them. I'm dead center. You can't miss me. But, again, it's background work. It's okay. I've done a little stand-up. They had a lot of, a few open mics down at a bar down here in Tampa. And one of my coworkers said, hey, Rick, why don't you go up next week and, just do something. You do that and I'll do some dice stuff. So I go, you're going to do the Mary Had a Little? Yeah, well, I'll do that. I say, okay, fine. So the next week comes, I meet him at the bar. They introduce, okay, this is a stand-up, blah, blah, blah. And I go, Scott, did he put your name down on the paper? I goes, for what? What do you mean for what? You told me to,
He didn't do it.
He did shit. He goes, how was I going to do that shit? You're going to go up there. I go, well, if you're not going up, because I'm ready, fuck you. I already put your name up there. You put my name. You didn't put your name. And then, now we got a new guy, Rick, Rick C. Oh, geez. So I went up there. It was okay. It was pretty good. I got the jitters out of me within, let's see, I'm supposed to be there. You're only supposed to get 3 to 5 minutes on open mic. Yeah. But I guess it went pretty well because I didn't get the light. Usually if you go over, they give you the light, okay, get off. I was up there 16 minutes and nobody said anything.
And they're probably scared of you. You're from Brooklyn, for Christ's sake. They ain't going to screw you.
Yeah,
he's a Goomba from Brooklyn. We're not messing with this dude.
Probably funnier than anybody else that night.
Yeah,
and then on Sopranos, just background work. I was in, I was basically season 3, where one of the waiters in Vesuvio's. And you can get
a half of that season was in Vesuvio's.
Well, yeah. I think it was. That's why
you were busy that year.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I mean,
of sitting around waiting for your turn, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it wasn't, union, SAG after. So it's.
They got to pay you, baby.
Yeah, they have to. So, the poor people, that are just regular background, they're like $60 and I was like $270 or something like that.
Man, you're rolling in it.
But the one thing is there's not many people that can say they've done what you've done. I was on The Sopranos, I was in the Die Hard movie. I mean, that's cool.
He's not shy.
That's awesome. I mean, I'd walk right up to somebody and be like, yeah, I was in fucking Die Hard. I was on the fucking Sopranos.
But it's more like, well, yeah, I was just background in this instead of, hey, I was in The Sopranos.
Yeah, he doesn't lie about it. I mean, I put up a post saying he was a star of The Sopranos.
As a matter of fact,
you're a star to me, Rick.
You're the best.
That was my favorite friggin' show ever until Game of Thrones came on.
I still haven't watched Game of Thrones. Don't tell me. But I know.
Look.
There you go.
Any show that's got TNA and dragons in it, I'm good with
it. Yeah. Well, dragons are real. I don't want
to. Dragons are cool.
Yes. I want one.
If you find one, send one my way, too.
I went to the reptile show just this past Sunday, and there were no there were bearded dragons. But no.
Man, I've seen some of those at the establishment where you work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm in the high limit blackjack room, they come over and sit down next to me and go, "You want to buy me a drink?" No, go away. So you like millions of other Americans had to deal with losing your job because of the China flu too, right?
Yeah, we were out. About 3 months maybe. But
and that's only because you work in Florida.
I think that's...
You worked in California, you still wouldn't be back to work.
I probably still wouldn't. You're right. I know a few people, actually, that are in California, and they still haven't really gotten their job back. They're still doing little side stuff until...
They've been out for a year.
Just about.
Yeah. So you also like Disney.
Oh, Disney's. You can call me a theme parkaholic.
Theme parkaholic. Okay.
Oh yeah, and that's one long word. That's like forget about it. One long.
Too many syllables for me.
It is. but yeah, Disney. I go to like, I would say every other week with one of my coworkers. Like we just went there like a month or so ago. And hey, tell me if you know what this sounds like. I'm putting a blade in. Hold on, it should make the sound. Okay, and then.
Ah, you went to Star Wars.
And yeah. Yes, we went to, what's that, Galaxy's Edge? And it's just absolutely amazing.
So you love everything about Disney except for a certain ride.
Oh, don't mention it, no.
And that's something that we have in common.
The same ride, I bet.
Yeah.
I know it's that ride.
Brent guessed it. It's a world
of... Kill me now.
Right.
Thank you, Slim.
Thank you. I'm going to have nightmares for a while now.
That's why I do it. I do
my,
it.
My nightmares return every time he does that.
Yeah. When we went to Disney, we went to Magic Kingdom maybe a month, 2 months ago. And actually, I couldn't go with the coworker. They had to work. So I just went alone. I really don't care. Like I said, I just went and I'm having a good time myself. So I passed by. It's a small world. And I look at it. And I'm like, gee, how come I haven't been on this in decades? How come I don't go on it? So I go on it. And after I got off, I realized why I don't go on it anymore. Just that song is like on and on. And it's just not that song. You start almost talking to people like that. I want a Diet Coke and some French fries. I hate it. It's terrible.
There you go. Anybody who hates Small World is a friend of mine. I can tell you that.
And then have you ever been to Epcot and go into the Mexican,
way back,
the Mexican little boat ride?
That's no, I didn't do that. I just went over there to eat.
That's basically, it's a small world.
I went on Magic Mountain as many times as I could get on it.
Magic
Space Mountain. My son was young. And a roller coaster in the dark was pretty effing cool.
It is. And for some reason, I went on it again. And it seems like I got faster. Either that or I got older.
Yeah, I was a lot younger then. I might not survive it as well. I might go one time and go, why the hell did I like this? Anyway, so let's see what we got to talk about tonight. Apparently, overcrowding at prisons is going to lessen under Freudenstein. That's what I call President Joe Biden. He's got a lot of nicknames. Nickname I made up for him is Freudenstein.
Sure, he has a few of them.
Yes. So not only will women have to compete with biological males in sports, but get this. Here's a clip from the press.
By the way, in prison, the determination should be that your sexual... identity is defined by what you say it is, not what, in fact, the prison says it is. And in that case, you should be entitled also to OGBYN. Anyway, you didn't ask that.
And then he got confused.
Yeah, you didn't ask that question. The last word was cut off. Question.
Well, OBGYN got them all that flustered.
You didn't answer that. So, yeah, OBGYNs at the male prisons. There you go. That's what we need. That's America now. So I'm figuring if I get busted for being a conservative white male, and that may be possible very soon, I'm going to declare myself a female immediately.
I honestly think this is not going to be in your best interests. I've watched 60 Days In. Those women are ruthless. I think I'd rather take my chances with the guys.
I can still fight a little. I 10 of them on me. Okay. Dude. I might get hurt, but a male prison,
dude, there's
16 guys named Bubba who can kick my ass now. I'm not Joe, Mr. Tough Guy like I was 30 years ago.
Yeah, but you have to understand, the guys, that's a fight. The women, that's no, there's no rules with them bitches. Let me tell you, like I said, I've watched 60 Days In. I watched every season of it. And I'm telling them you bitches. What, they are nasty.
All they have to do is tell them you're on Sopranos and they won't bother you for anything.
There you go. That's what I'm going to have to tell people. Even though I wasn't. I can go in and change that on my IMDb profile and say I wasn't on The Sopranos. I know how to do that.
I'll have Van Zandt come pop you. him and that hair of his. That killed me.
He was definitely not my favorite. And I can't think of his name. Who was
who was Michael Imperiali?
No, the tall one with the ponytail, the heavy Italian accent.
Oh, I know who you mean.
But he doesn't have, when you speak to him regularly, there's no Italian accent.
None at all? At all. Well, he was playing a guy who was just, he was a hitter right off the boat.
Does the accent sound forced? I've never watched The Sopranos.
It was a very well acted show. It really was.
Awesome. That's one of the ones I haven't watched.
They won a shitload of Emmys.
No, I know that.
Gandolfini is like one of the nicest people there. I mean, being in the union, you know, they always have to have food and beverage for you. Well, they're out of coffee. And I'm like, you know, where's the craft service? Because they're out of it. Just go to the heroes table. Heroes are the main guys in a movie. So, you know, the big shots table. So just go down the hall, that door, make a left and go in. So one of the other guys with me goes, I'll take some coffee too. Let's go take a walk. We walk in and the door's like just propped open a little bit. We push the door open and Gandolfini and Rocco can't think of her name now. His
Lorraine Bracco.
Lorraine Bracco, right.
Yeah.
They're there in nothing but a bathrobe. And I'm like, oh my God. And like the first thing I think to myself, I tighten up. Oh my God, I'm going to die. And they're like, oh, what? And I go, oh guys, I'm so sorry. They just said coffee was here. We'll leave now. And I'm looking at them, little tiny ass bathroom. And I start to leave. Goes, nah, where are you going? I go, nah, that's okay. He goes, get over here. And I go, oh, here we go. Okay, Mr. Nothing.
He's the man. You got to listen.
I just want some coffee. He made like four cups of coffee, donuts all over the place. And as a matter of fact, before we left, we told some of the other extras there, you guys want anything? Nah, we're okay. So he's giving us donuts and bagels to bring back to the main table, which I told him we were out of everything. I opened the door and I go, hey, look, Gandolfini was in that room. He gave us all these bagels and donuts. And like the people's eyes opened up. Gandolfini, they started taking donuts and bagels and throwing them in their bag. Like there was
not eBay
in the movie.
He touched them.
We have to keep them.
Well, they probably put them up on eBay.
I wouldn't doubt it. Gandolfini touched donuts.
Nope. You know, it's funny that you say it because I do soundstage and lighting with one of my buddies once in a while. And, you know, some of these artists, I mean, you can go into the green room with the artist, which I can go into the green room anyways. It doesn't matter if I'm on that, you know, that part of the duty. But some of these artists are, you know, really cool. They're really open. It's awesome in the green room. And there's other artists that are just like the absolute worst. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know, like the television business, but like we deal with show writers and the show writer tells us what we have to provide, you know, to the artist. And these guys can get, you know, downright demanding on what they want. Like in this one, for instance, we had to provide a couch. They wanted a specific couch. And just to rent this couch was like $900, and they literally sat on this couch for 7 minutes. Uh-oh. And we had to have it though. If we don't have what's in the show writers, they walk out the door. Yeah. Now
they do.
It's crazy. But some of these, like you know, some of these guys are awesome. Yeah. Some of these guys are like total dicks, and you just it's like, you know, you want nothing to do with them. I know of one show in particular that one of our sound guys was right in the green room smoking weed with one of the main act. And they will not say who it was, but the main act. So
last famous person I hung out with was Brad Garrett. That was a few years ago when they opened up a new poker room and he was there for the grand opening. And I was talking to him and stuff. We took a few pictures together. And I told him that I had a show and I'd promote his charity. He had a charity that provided meals for underprivileged people. And I got no problem with that. I think that was a good thing. And so I sent him a few bucks, and oh my God, I was a god. We were best friends. He loved me. He talked to me on Twitter. And then he found out I was a conservative, and I was dead to him. So that didn't last long. But before that, I guess the last famous person I met before that was Haley Reinhardt, and she kissed me.
Fuck you.
Wait. I thought I'd throw that in there.
No.
I'm not stopping.
I haven't mentioned that. 3 minutes and 6.
I was going to make a goal.
Haley Reinhardt finished third in American Idol about 8-9 years ago. And she's got a very successful singing career. And she's cute as a button. And Slim has the biggest crush on her in the world. And I met her, and I was hanging out with her and Joey Cook and what's his name? Casey Abrams. After a postmodern jukebox show in Pennsylvania, and we were hanging out, and then we posed for pictures and stuff, and then she gave me a big kiss, and I was like, "There you go." And of course, my daughter didn't get a picture of the kiss, because if I had got a picture of the kiss,
that would have been bribery.
I'd be sending that to Slim. Right, you know, the guy who used to own the network that we were on, well, he still owns it, but we're not on it. We're on it.
Got it. Till 11 o'clock.
Yeah. All digital radio. Daryl, he went vegan. So I send Daryl pictures of bacon. And, you know, I would send Slim pictures of Haley Reinhardt kissing me.
You know, I had my shot. I went to the concert here when they came, when she was here. But something, you know, when I went up to the table and, you know, they were supposed to come get me, and they, you know, they had my name for, you know, to be able to go back and, you know, meet them afterwards. And I waited and waited. And I think they actually went out to the tour bus and got high and just forgot to come back in and do their
Haley's breath definitely had the smell of herb.
Yeah. And even though I was on the meet and greet list, they were really ushering us out the door. It's kind of like they wanted to close. I was like, well, I'm on the, no, don't keep walking. Keep. So I didn't get my shot.
That's all right. But I mean, Joey Cook kissed me too, but you know, I mean, it was Joey Cook kissing me doesn't get you upset.
Not at all.
Haley Reinhardt. There you go.
Now it's Kelly Pickler, though, then we'd really have problems.
I've never met Kelly Pickler. No.
Let's keep it that way, because.
Right. Well, she was not my favorite. So
I know somebody else's picture would come off a show banner.
Anyway, hey, we found out apparently today that Dr. Seuss is a racist piece of shit now. This, you know, I've got an example. Somebody posted this on Facebook. It's out of the Dr. Seuss book. Father Bear saying to his son, "I'm a father. I'm a he. A father's something you could be." Well, we can't have that anymore.
How is it supposed to be now?
You know, it was like Demi Lovato last week saying all girls don't have vaginas. And I think my tag to that was, we know who flunked biology. But this cancel culture crap is driving me nuts. And Slim, you found.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me, Laren, from Fox News, she's one of their, you know, ladies that she's not a reporter, an anchor for them, or have a show, I don't believe.
No, she's on the
digital. Does she have a show? Okay. I thought she was just one of the ones that,
Fox,
you know,
what's
chimes
the Fox
in.
Digital thing, whatever the hell it's called.
But
I'll join in April when Tucker Reports comes on.
Yeah, well, she's, this cancel culture's got her all pissed off too here. Listen.
This is never going to end. They're going to come for everything. They're going to cancel everyone. They canceled Donald Trump. They're going to cancel you. They're going to cancel me. They've tried, you know, at length to do just that. And at some point, if we don't fight back, they will be successful. Because there's a lot of conservatives and a lot of just independent folks that say, what do we do about cancel culture? Well, it's time we start fighting back. It's time we start canceling the companies that cancel other people, that cancel other ideas, and start saying, hey, listen, we don't like how radical you're being with your cancel culture, so we're not going to shop there. We're not going to watch that. It's time that we join together in numbers the way the cancel culture mob has done so and fight back.
Go.
Yeah. The problem is, though, when we fight back, it's called insurrection.
Or a riot.
And the FBI tracks all our cell phones and everything else. Yep.
And that was going to be my exact point, but you beat me to it, because that's exactly what they... No, it's okay. It's, we think the same, because that's exactly what would happen. It would be considered a riot, and it was. I mean, That's what happened. We stood up on whatever day that was, January, whatever, and the majority of people were peaceful. There was a few that weren't, and it got totally twisted around. And now, no matter what we do, everything's going to be considered a riot. But
I mean, hell, I saw today that Henry Cavill, he's an excellent actor. He's the guy who played Superman in the Captain America stuff, and he's had in Superman versus Batman and all that shit. He was in all those movies, and he's also the star of Netflix The Witcher, which is a zippy fave. I love that. Season two is in production right now. He's being attacked because he dated conservative actress Gina Carano 11 years ago. They want him canceled because he dated a conservative woman 11 years ago.
And this is
how insane is this shit?
Well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to now start going back and back and back decades to find as much dirt as they can to try to get what they're going to do whatever they can to get their agenda accomplished. And right now their agenda is to cancel everything that they disagree with and everyone, like we just heard. And they will dig up whatever dirt is necessary to make that happen. 11 years ago.
We had plenty of dirt on Creepy Joe, and we weren't allowed to hear it.
Nope.
I don't know. Anyway, get this from La La Land. This one kills me. This first story down there, guys, you want to click on it. There is a California bill that will require gender-neutral stores. It will fine retailers $1,000 for having separate boy and girl toy departments.
Well, guess what? That's just going to be the start, the toy department. Then there's eventually it's going to move to your clothing department, too.
Because boys should be able to wear panties and bras.
Yep, there you go. Well, we already...
Trainers.
There is the maxi pads, the pads for men that want to, feel the menstruation period. We've talked about that on our show before. I mean, if you want to experience your period as a man, you can buy these special pads and they bleed and make you feel the whole period sensation. I mean, so yeah, eventually clothes are going to be in the same, boys and girls clothes are going to be the same. They're going to be mixed together.
My Facebook friends, the females, conservative females are calling them beta males. Because they're not alpha males. I still call them pajama boys. I go back a ways to Obummer and his little pajama boy with a cup of cocoa. Real men don't need guns, do they, mommy?
You know what my personal thing out of this whole the male-female thing that bothers me the most, more than the toys or with the clothes or,
male-female, you forgot the other 55.
Okay, well, but it's the sports. That's what really gets me more than anything is the sports.
Well, that's because you got a daughter who's an athlete.
Exactly. So now I have a boy who can come into gymnastics and kick her ass. Now, in gymnastics, I don't think...
Boys can't do balance beams. So
they can't do that kind of stuff. I'm fine. But in some of these other
kids'
sports...
She kills on the balance beams, so she'll be all right.
But in some of these other sports, some of these girls are screwed. I mean, look at track.
Yeah,
I mean,
track
is the one that's going to fuck a lot of people. Swimming. If you've got a man that can now swim with the women, they're going to kill him. I mean, this is bad with the sports. But
I heard one the other night. Somebody's using an example. They said under what the Biden administration wants to have happen, if when he was 18 years old and graduating high school, and was about to be the first overall pick right out of high school by the NBA, LeBron James decided that he wanted to play as a female, he could. Now, LeBron James, I don't particularly like LeBron James, but I respect him because, quite frankly, he makes other men look like girls. I mean, he is a hell of an athlete. He's just awesome. Other than Michael Jordan, he's probably the most exciting basketball player I've ever seen. And I like Michael Jordan. I don't like LeBron, obviously. But he could be a girl. He could play as a girl.
The only thing that I would see that could
what
be
the fuck?
Well, listen, and this might not be true, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one positive thing could come out of this. It could help the women's salaries come up a little bit, maybe because now some of these men are. You don't think it'll help?
Absolutely not, because nobody will watch it.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I didn't look at it that way. I was looking at...
And since you're talking about sports, the U.S. Soccer Association reneged their rule the other day that the United States soccer teams have to stand for the national anthem. Okay. Now on the women's team, Rapinoe, who's, you know, about as far left as they come, she would stay in the locker room. She wouldn't come out because she refused to stand for the national anthem. But she's wearing USA on her shirt, you know. Well, these guys are wearing USA on their shirt, too. And now they don't have to stand. And a wheelchair athlete who I saw on TV, and I kicked myself in the butt for not writing his name down. But he was a military guy. He was in the big sandbox. And he lost his legs. And he became an Olympic, Special Olympic.
Paralympic
gold medalist. All right. So he's still a hell of an athlete. He thought this was wrong and he said so, and he voted against it. They kicked him out of the board. Board. They didn't kick him out of competing, but they kicked him off the board because he voted against it. I mean, this cancel culture shit is just nuts. And how, I don't know how much liberals think we're going to take of this before, you know, some people blow their fuses. It ain't going to be me, although I would like to, but there will be people who are not as disciplined as I am that will friggin' lose it.
Well, let me, we have somebody new here on the show, you know, tonight, Rick. So, and I've said this to you and, you know, to CB when he was on the show before, and I've said it to many of, you know, people that I acquaint with all the time. Again, Americans are lazy. I don't think we ever can get enough people to stand up, to make a difference, to change. We tried. It got thrown as a riot, as an insurrection. I just don't think that, you know, our side is going to, you know, try again because of, you know, how we were labeled and branded. I just don't think we have enough capability to make any sort of change. Even if we can't make a change, the only place we can make a change is at the voting booths. And guess what? We can't even do that because they're crooked. They're dishonest. So the only place we can make a change, the voting booth, is screwed. So, I mean, Rick, do you think we, as Americans, there's enough people that can stand up and make a change? Or are we doomed? Are we doomed to just let the government just control our life and then lead us down whatever rabbit hole they want to take us down?
I think we can... you know, make a stand. But the whole thing is, if we make, you know, any kind of stand that we want, why, who's to say that they can just shoot it down?
That's, yeah, exactly. That's what's going to happen.
You hate to say it, but like with the way this last election went, who's to say that's going to be the normal and you'll never see anybody who you voted for, you know, be put in.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook is, you know, and social media in general, they are just, you know, they are part of cancel culture. They cancel. How many times I've been in jail in the last 6 months?
Wow,
Facebook, like 6-7 times. It's nuts.
Big tech controls everything, and I mean we've said that. And I mean, like I've mentioned before on the show, Rick, you've never heard this either. But you know, if you watch the movie on Netflix, which is, I can't think of what it's actually called, but it talks about how any child born after 1996, their entire life is driven by an algorithm, and they don't know how to function outside of the algorithms that are in front of their face.
Oh, hell, they can't even write cursive.
They can't do anything, and it's all the algorithms. I mean, these guys out of Silicon Valley that came out and whistle blew in this documentary on what they were doing in their coding to make you have to pick up your phone to see, you know, their goal was to make you pick up your phone a minimum of 50 times a day. Pick up your phone and look at your, and spend time on it. Not just pick up your phone 50 times a day, but spend, you know, a minimum amount of time picking up your phone. Your user interface on your phone, your user interface and your apps are all designed to make you want to open them and spend time on them. And all of those apps control what you do in your life. I can't go to the grocery store because I'm waiting for someone to, you know, to tell me what they're doing on social media so I can maybe meet them, you know, somewhere else. And your whole life is an algorithm. And then everything is sent to you through that algorithm. You look for something on Google, and guess what? Now your Facebook feed is full of what you just searched for. And Zip, we've talked about this.
I get people who are surprised when they text me or call me and I don't answer or respond right away. And I'm like, you know, my phone is not permanently in my pocket.
You're one of, because you're not from 19, you were born after, before 1996.
You don't need,
and, no, way before.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of the people in my generation, I'm 42, and I am, I consider myself in that 1996 in you know, younger crowd, because my life is controlled by my phone. I it literally is.
Well, these California assholes have said that, all children's toy sections have to be gender neutral. And it's to combat prejudice and judgment against gender non-conforming children. Well, we got that idiot from Pennsylvania, Levine, Robert Levine, who goes by some female name now. I forget what the first name is.
Rachel.
But Rachel, yeah. But it's a dude. Okay? He's never had the banana split surgery. And I'm not going to explain that to Rick now, but I'll tell him later.
Please do.
No. It grossed me out when Daryl explained it to us, and I'm not going to go through that again. But you know, he's still walking around with his ding dong, and he sits there in front of his Senate confirmation hearing, and what's his name from Kentucky, Rand Paul, was blasting him, her, it, whatever. About the ability, she thinks that children should have the right to get hormone shots for whatever gender they want to be without their parents' knowledge as young as age 8. Wow. And I'm like, doesn't anybody on the left understand how insane that is? And a Facebook friend of mine who is a liberal, she's pissed off about it. But she is a classic liberal. She's a thinking liberal. And the 20% that aren't are friggin' running everything now.
Can I just,
and when the 30% of classic liberals turn on that 20%, maybe we can get this country back straightened out.
Let me just throw this in here. I'm not all for, like, if my 9-year-old all of a sudden came to me tomorrow and said, I want to be a boy. I don't know how I would take that. Okay. I would be open. And, you know, it is what it is. But now, neither one of you, please take offense to this, but you guys are older. You're more old school. This was never heard of, you know, as you guys were growing up. And I mean, this is like shell shock, you know, to, nope. to you guys. To me, I have to say, I've watched enough of real life documentarian situations where there are kids as young as 7 and 8, that is where that transition has to happen.
They're influenced by social media, like you said.
But they don't know yet. They're influenced by social media, but some of that is not, you got to remember, with social media also comes the fact that all these kids have all their research at their fingertips. So it's not like back in the day. If you wanted to go research any of this, you had to go to the public library and check out, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica, which none of this would be in there anyways. But these kids now, they have all of this information that they're right at their fingertips. So it's not like they just walked into mommy and said, you know, mommy, I want to be a boy. They've most likely given thought to it.
Some people do, but they let them figure it out when they're older. You know,
that actually might be too late in some. We had
that kid on American Idol 2 weeks ago, and it was a girl who wanted to be a boy. So she went by the name Ace, because that's kind of general neutral, and actually, you know, had a kind of a quirky singing voice, and they didn't let him through, but we went through the whole thing. But that kid was 16. Okay. And had been thinking about it for a couple of years. And, you know, at that age, okay. And the mom was behind it. The mom was backing him up. That's fine. That is a personal decision.
What
if the parent is involved? But when you say the parents don't need to be involved, that's where I think we need to draw the line.
I don't think that the parents do need to be involved, regardless, you know, up to probably, you know, 14, 15, 16. But you can't deny a child as young as 7 or 8, if they're starting to show the tendencies to want to be the opposite, you know, or
no problem
different,
with that. You've got to allow them to do that. I was like 11 years old, and I was going down to the creek with a couple of friends of mine, and I think we were going tubing or something
to the creek.
But we were walking down the creek, and there's big pasture in between the where the walkway ended and the woods. There's a little line of woods, and there's a big pasture behind it. And you walk across the pasture to get to the creek, and there's two dudes laying on a blanket there kissing. And I thought, well, never seen that before.
Yeah.
It's a little odd, but we went on, we had our fun, and when we went home, I asked my mom, I said, you know, I saw two guys today kissing each other, and I asked her the proper question. I said, is that okay?
And what was her answer? Was her answer my
mom,
no?
My mom said, if some men grow up and they like other men rather than women, she said, that's not the way I would do it. She goes, but if that's what their choice is, you have to respect that. So from age 11, the first time I ever saw gay people, I've never had a problem with gay people. None.
Kudos to your mom, because in the time that you grew up, that, you know, that was.
Oh, yeah. It was friends of mine's parents had different answers.
Yeah. So kudos to your mom.
One of my buddies and I had a little discussion about that, too, because he was like, that was gross there. You know, and he used derogatory names for it and stuff. Right. And I said, where'd you hear that? He goes, I asked my dad. And I said, well, I asked my mom, and she said, it's okay. I said, we don't have to be that way, but you're supposed to respect other people's choices. And he and I became unfriends.
But keep in mind, too, because society is starting to accept this and, well, being forced to accept it, but society's accepting it ever since, you know, gay marriage has been somewhat, you know, legalized in a lot of the states. These kids are seeing it. They're thinking it's accepted. So they're wanting to come out younger and younger. They're wanting to change younger and younger. Back in your days, because none of these, it was, you know, you stumbled upon that and probably never saw two dudes kiss again for 20 years.
Not until I went to Key West.
There you go. Now see, we see two dudes kiss 5 days a week on TV. I mean, it's totally different. These kids are in a totally different situation to where this stuff has become deemed.
Star Trek Discovery, there's two dudes that kiss about every other show. So, you know, it doesn't bother me. But my point is, I was 11 years old and it didn't bother me then. You know, I don't care. I just don't care. I've always accepted it. It's fine with me. And, you know, when I found out that my daughter's gay, I was like, cool. Now I understand why you went to the proms with ugly guys. She's cute. She could have done a lot better. So anyway, we had this British reporter guy who was discussing cancel culture against the author Laura Ingalls Wilder. Now you got Laura Ingalls Wilder. A lot of the educated people, not the ones from Rita Linda, but the educated people out there know
Little House in the Prairie, right?
Little House in the Prairie is one of her things.
I used to watch it.
And she died in 1957 at age 90. So when she was writing this crap, you got to understand this was before the turn of the previous century, okay? But they want her stuff gone. So we enjoyed the exasperation by this British reporter, and we're going to share this now. This is a little bit longer than we normally play a clip, but this is worth it. So listen up.
Sit back, relax. We'll be back in three.
We're up on the studio roof. Today we're going to be discussing Laura Ingalls Wilder, author of The Little House on the Prairie books, whose name has been removed from a writing award because her books display stereotypical attitudes and contain racial language. I mean, for fuck's sake, I'd be fucking amazed if they didn't, frankly. These books, they're based on the author's childhood between 1870 and 1894. That's like 5 years after slavery was abolished. The books were written during the Jim Crow laws. It's almost as if cultural norms aren't fixed and changed with the passage of time. Who is this helping? No one. No one needs protecting from Little House on the fucking Prairie. Or for that matter, the racially charged language of Huckleberry Finn or To Kill a Mockingbird or fucking... What does this achieve? Who does this help? Stop sanitizing and denying the past to make yourself look good. I'm sick of it. It's utter bullshit. And it's fucking everywhere you look. We live in the most inclusive, progressive, diverse, prosperous society ever in human history, yet we behave as if we've never had it so fucking bad. We're told that there is prejudice wherever you look. because there aren't enough female biographies on Wikipedia or enough BAME cyclists on the road. Apparently, the biggest challenge to London cyclists, it's not safety, it's diversity. We used to react to prejudice. Now we actively seek it out, often where it doesn't fucking exist. Fucking Google has taken the egg out of its salad emoji to make it more inclusive for vegans. Is there a single vegan in the world that feels triggered or oppressed or unrepresented by a salad emoji with an egg in it? What does this achieve? Who does this help? My generation, right, we've never really had to fight for much. Gay rights certainly has come a long way in my lifetime, but I mean, we never had to fight for the vote. We never had to fight in a fucking war. You know, my grandmother watched the Battle of Britain taking place above her house. Nazis in planes over her house attempting to invade our country. Actual Nazis. I'm not talking Trump voters. Actual Nazis. Recently, you had Vogue magazine saying tackling women's issues today is harder than women's battle for the vote. You pampered, privately educated cunts. The suffragettes went on fucking hunger strike. Emily Davidson sacrificed her life. Wearing a Louis Vuitton black dress on a red carpet is not the same as jumping in front of a fucking racehorse. Stop fucking demonstrating how fucking worthy you are. And it's not just, it's fucking, look at this, it's fucking everything. It's everything, right? What's this? This the Pride fucking sponsored Costa coffee. Who does this help? I'd like a skinny latte, please, with one pump of sugar-free hazelnut syrup. Would you like it in a cup that publicly displays that you're happy with the notion of same-sex couples having the right to... I just want a fucking coffee, mate. It's 6:30 a.m., and in 20 minutes, I'm scheduled to interview Amber fucking Rudd. I just need the fucking caffeine. Give me my fucking skinny latte. We don't call it a skinny latte anymore, sir, because that phrase is considered fat-shaming. So I would just fuck off then.
That clippy bit, just walk off then, just so I've got it forever.
Yeah, skinny latte is fat shaming. We save that one. We need to play that one like once a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the best rant on cancel culture I have ever heard.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
I don't even know the dude's name. I will find out the dude's name before we
did
play
that it. Actually air?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was on cable.
Still.
The BBC would have never. The BBC would never hire a guy like that. They're so politically correct there.
But the problem is he's not the problem.
We need more guys like this dude.
He's spot on. I mean, this is what people don't get, and because they're so brainwashed by the networks that they watch, that are just spewing all this crap down their throats. This is the problem.
Huck Finn was the first big book I ever read. I was maybe eight or 9 years old, and that was a big book for me at 8 or 9. You know.
I want to see what books
like,
they're
350 pages or something.
Yeah, they want to get rid of
that. And it had the N-word in it a lot.
Who cares?
Okay. Well, I heard my grandmother say the N-word all the time, so it didn't faze me.
Right.
Okay. But nowadays, you can't even read it. If you read it, there's something wrong with you. You know, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, one of the greatest writers in the history of mankind. Can't read his stuff. He has the N-word in it. That's how they talk then. God, you just got to learn to accept what is or what was. Okay, we're better than that now. But wow. Like he said, they're running around. You know, we used to see prejudice and we would diss them. You know, we'd go off on them. But now they're out around looking for prejudice where it doesn't even exist. It pisses me off royal. And that guy was so good. We're definitely going to save that one.
Yeah, we are.
All right, so we got to get the stupid criminal. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm still laughing at the end. I just need my bloody caffeine.
I can see it's 6:30 in the fucking morning, and I've got an interview Amber Heard.
Shit.
Give me my fucking caffeine. I don't want a lecture.
It sounds like me in the morning. Don't talk to me unless I'm my caffeine.
That's
what I was posting. I was posting my coffee pictures during COVID, and then I would post my liquor pictures. Well, what, twice a week, three times a week, I post my liquor pictures, and all of a sudden I was kind of an alcoholic.
Yeah, three drinks a week, you're a lush.
Yeah. Look at him. It's another drink.
Oh, God. I just thought it was funny some of the stuff you were drinking. You had some fancy shit.
I did have some fancy shit, but yeah, I just can't do like, you know, a shot of, I don't know, Wild Turkey. Ugh, gross. Chivas Regal and Scotch. Let me have a shit. Ugh, gross. I had to get those little fun drinks. I call them fun drinks. Usually if I go to a bar and I have no idea what I want, I'll just, the waiter or waitress will look at me and go, what do you want? I don't know. Make me something blue.
There you go. That's the best.
I rarely have a drink, but when I do, it's the good stuff. Like I got Remy Martin and stuff like that, but that's like once a year.
I'm sorry. I'm with
actually
Rick
last year was none. I had four Guinnesses last year, the entire year.
Remy, Remy's good for when you get a cut, you pour it on it. Like my dad
at $300 a bottle, you better not be pouring mine on your damn cut. Let me tell you that.
My dad basically all he drank was red wine. God forbid you gave him white wine. He looked at you like you have three eyes. And scotch. And his scotch of choice was Chivas Regal. Like Johnny Red? No. Johnny Blue or Black?
I've got a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
I know it's expensive.
That was about $200 15 years ago, and I still haven't opened it. It comes in its own little coffin. It's cute the way it is.
My dad is so cheap and so old school that the only thing he drinks is Fleischmann's.
Oh,
yeah. The JW Blue was like $1.99, and that was at what do they call them at the airport?
Those duty free shops.
Duty free. Yeah, it was a duty free place. Anyway, we got Stupid Criminal. Everybody waits for Stupid Criminal. They put up with our crap all show long till we get to Stupid Criminal.
Yeah, we're
so we got to make this worth it. And of course, I had to cough. So, remember when Sean Connery said never bring a knife to a gunfight in The Untouchables back in '87? And even Obama said he'd bring a gun to a knife fight with the Republicans. Now, I kind of laughed at that because I didn't think he knew which end to point at him. But this week in Florida, our Stupid Criminal of the Week did not bring a knife to the gunfight. He brought something else.
You got to know what I'm dying.
Florida man, Ocala. Not too far from us, a little over an hour, about an hour away.
You could go interview this guy.
No, I can't interview this guy. Florida man was naked, shaking his penis at people. Going around Ocala. He's in critical condition after he brought the wrong weapon to a gunfight. He was shot naked and carrying a Bible. At least he had the Bible. But according to police, the shooting happened outside the Sunshine Garden Apartments on Pembroke Road in Pembroke Pines, Ocala, Florida. Police responded to the apartment complex after multiple people called 911 to report a naked man running around. He was knocking on doors, naked, of course. And then when someone would answer, the man would ask, "Do you want some of this?" And then he'd point to his penis and shake it at him. While officers went out to the scene, another caller reported the man had been shot. Upon arrival, police found the man on the road bleeding profusely, suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. He was transported to the local hospital with life-threatening injuries. The shooter later called 911 and turned himself in. It was unclear where on the body the man was shot. The investigation is ongoing.
I'd have shot him in the penis.
Yeah, well, apparently he shook his dick at the wrong place.
Well, if he'd come up to your door and shook his penis when he rang, you opened it, what would you have done?
Well, we've got the stand your ground law here in Florida, okay? And if somebody invades your premises, you really don't have to feel threatened. Well, if they come into your place, you have the right to shoot them.
But if
he's at your front door,
okay.
I'm thinking you have to feel threatened.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that must be one scary ass penis.
Or big. I wasn't me. I wasn't at your door. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So if Slim was shaking his penis, people would
threatened.
Yeah. People would understandably be scared for their lives.
Very threatened.
Yes. I've seen the marks on the sand when Slim is on the beach.
Yeah. That's why I'm no longer allowed at the naked beach.
He's not allowed there anymore. It's embarrassing. But that's our Stupid Criminal. We don't even know his name. They haven't put it out yet, but believe me, If you're going to be in a gunfight, bring another gun, not your penis.
This guy had to have been on some sort of whacked out drug to be running around the neighborhood.
Maybe he's just horny. He had the Bible. You know.
He was doing the helicopter.
Yeah, I made the helicopter famous. That was another show. That was another show a long time ago. We've got another story from Florida that's criminal, but to me, it's a little bit iffy. Sounds more entrepreneurial to me.
Hell yeah.
This is also in Florida, of course. She's 12 years old, so there's no names involved with this one either. But on February 26th, a 12-year-old Florida girl is facing criminal charges after she admitted to selling stun guns to classmates.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
It's Coleman Middle School right here in Tampa.
Supply and demand.
According to investigators, a staff member alerted administrators that pupils had reported the female student possessed a stun gun on campus. In response to the tips, a school resource officer removed the young suspect from class, questioned her about the weapons. The girl said she admitted to purchasing 5 stun guns online and bringing them to school this week for resale to fellow students. She's trying to make a buck.
That's all blue box.
Her parents might not be back to work yet. You know, she had sold 3 of them the day before, and police are still trying to find those 3 stun guns from the kid she sold them to.
I'd have given the girl an A in math, an A in business, an A in probably 2 or 3 other classes.
Giving her detention for a week. That's it. But no, you know, in this day and age, they'll probably expel the poor kid.
Oh, they will. They absolutely will. And this is what's, you know,
they actually sent her to the juvenile assessment center to be booked. So they are bringing charges, juvenile charges against her.
Poor kid, no. She's just trying to make a buck. I sold blow pops for 4 years and made thousands of dollars. I mean, if I could have sold stun guns, I'd have sold stun guns.
You sold blow pops?
Blow pops. Buck a blow pop every day. I had a whole 250 case box of blow pops 5 days a week at school. Was gone every day. The entire box. Every day.
I just sold Quaaludes.
Yeah, we didn't. They didn't. Blow pops made me
made
more
real
than
money.
Was in 7th and 8th grade.
You can get 100.
Hey, listen.
Get 100 Quaaludes for $10. I can sell them for $5 a pop. That was a good deal. Listen,
my entrepreneurial skill started in the 3rd grade. I had a trapper keeper with my dad's. Now get this, Hustler, not Playboy, not Penthouse. Hustler.
Oh, magazines. You charge for peaks?
I was charging 25 cents a peak in my trapper keeper out on Playground.
No wonder we go wrong.
And I got caught.
You did get caught?
Yeah, the girl next door, I wouldn't let her look in the trapper keeper. I kept telling her no, it was none of her business. So she went and told the playground monitor that I had a trapper keeper on playground, and that was not allowed. So
that's like those little Facebook fascists that report my posts.
Oh, bitch.
You know, it kills me because, you know, I'm semi-popular, not real popular, but semi-popular. And I put up the same post 47 other people put up, and I get 3 days in jail for it, and I go to the other people's pages. It's still there.
Yep, of course.
So some little asshole rats me out. Anyway, we're going to skip the China flu news.
Let's go to Gutfeld.
Yeah, well, this is President Biden.
Well, yeah.
You know, because words mean things. President Biden said so. And we all know how sharp he is. We're going to show you. Here we go.
Maybe.
And now, President Biden on words.
It's all about words, man. Change the word, you change the policy. You say cages, I say containers. You say containers, I say cantinas. That's right. I learned about words from Barack Obama when I was his vice principal. We're going to take these kids, we're going to move them from CPB to HHS. Then we're going to sit back and watch CNN show us a little TLC. You down with OPP? Oh, you know me, Uncle Joe. Text Joe to naughtybynature.gov.
I know it's 3 weeks in a row. But this is Tom Shalhoub on my buddy Greg Gutfeld's show. And these things are gold, man. They're absolute gold. And his Biden impersonation is not that bad. No. But the thing about it is, when you see him on TV, you got to watch the Gutfeld show on the weekends. Now, you're going to be able to see Gutfeld, I think, starting a couple weeks from now. He's going to be at 11 o'clock every night. 5 days a week, Gutfeld show is going to be on. He's going to have Tyrus on and Shalou will be on, and the little blonde skinny thing that's occasionally funny, and guests and stuff. So the Gutfeld Show is going to 5 nights a week, starting 2 weeks from now, at 11 o'clock on Fox News. So there's something besides Tucker to watch. Like, I can't take Hannity. He kills me. You know, and Laura Ingraham is good about one show out of three. So I watch about three shows out of 100. But that's it. You know, I just, you gotta laugh at this stuff, you know. Poor comedians. You can't go out there anywhere around young people and stuff. Cause you get heckled for jokes. You know, they can't even laugh anymore. There's nothing angrier anymore than a liberal.
No, and I can tell you firsthand, I mean, not that there's anything going on right now because of the pandemic, but, you know, all these colleges before the pandemic, you know, I do soundstage and lighting, and in that is we do a lot of comedians, and none of these universities that we deal with, they're not booking comedians anymore.
They're not.
Because
comedians don't want to come.
No, it's not. We have comedians that want to come, but they will not book them because they're afraid that somebody's going to get pissed off and turn them in for something, and they're going to get in trouble for it.
You know, back in the day when I was up in Pennsylvania, I would go to Atlantic City every couple of months, and I'd go down there and play some blackjack. And I was learning poker back then. I got lucky in a tournament there. I still haven't made that much money in a tournament ever again in my life, and I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. But the great thing was the hotel that I would go to most of the time had a comedy club in it, and there'd be 4, 5, 6 comedians, and you'd heard of a couple of them, and they were all good, and I would go watch the show. It was like $20 to get in if you're a guest at the hotel. And you had to buy 2 drinks. So, you know, it was like, you know, for 2 people to go, it was like, you know, $60-$70. And you get to see 6 comedians, a 2-hour show. And it was hysterical. I loved it. And, you know, I can just see now if you had these left-wing college campus kids in there and stuff, they'd be standing up, walking out, throwing fits, yelling and screaming.
Let's leave it at this. Do you think Robin Williams could get away with doing a stand-up show at a college university these days? Not a chance.
Well, Robin Williams' IQ was so friggin' high, he would have comebacks for him. He would be able to handle the hecklers.
Yeah, hopefully. All right.
But there's only a handful that could do that. So anyway, I want to thank Rick for sitting in with us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Come next week. I'll talk less. You can talk more.
The most famous person ever on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was never in a friggin' movie. I just was on TV a few times.
I've been on TV a lot.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Mine doesn't count, though. It's just I'm on the news all the time. That's all.
Most of my stuff was testifying in front of Congress or the legislature or doing muscular dystrophy stuff. So, you know, I didn't get to do any of my acting chops.
We're talking about you were in Facebook jail. A few of my friends are in Facebook jail, and they always ask me, Rick, did you get your badge of honor yet? You know, what's my badge of honor? Going in Facebook jail. So that's what they're calling your badge of honor. Was if you get into Facebook jail, you did something good.
And well, when you put the podcast post up here for the show tonight, you can get the link at our Off the Hook Radio page. Just hit share.
Yeah.
And put that on your page, and then you'll be on their watch list.
Yeah, probably. And I don't care.
Yeah. So Slim and I will be back Sunday night with the final audition show for American Idol. We're trying to get in contact with a couple of the contestants that you've seen so far this year. We hope to be successful. We do, at least we have ABC on our side. I don't know about the kids yet, but ABC said, sure, you guys are fine. You can talk to them. It's good. Yep. So we're going to see what we can do. But no matter what happens on American Idol, at least we make it funny.
That's right. And don't forget to download the app in the App Store, Zone Out Radio. That's where everything is heard. Music 24 hours a day, us on Tuesdays, us on Sundays. Ad-free.
All our podcasts.
All the podcasts are there. You can find all the links to us. So download it. Zone Out Radio. It's in the App Stores. I guess that's it. Thanks, Rick. We had a great night. Don't hang up.
That's just it. We had a great night. And that's the song I picked to end the show with.
Oh, oh, wow, I didn't even realize. Yeah, I did realize that, but I didn't put two and two together. Good night. All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night. Thanks for having me.
Burning holes in my pants, and I've been wearing down the bones in my hands. I'm getting off, and yeah, I got me some plans. I got this fever burning inside. I got this fever getting me high. Let's have a great night. Fever getting me high. I got this fever burning inside. I got this fever getting me high. Let's have a great night. On the dance floor, I'll be the cowboy.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.